Joining you live, just a little bit late tonight here, as we are live here at the festival site in Murphy, North Carolina. We've had a great service with all the saints that are gathering in here in Murphy, ladies and gentlemen, and we just got off of an old-fashioned altar after we washed feet and we took the bread and the cup, and we dedicated the altar here in Murphy, North Carolina, to all of the saints around the world. Listen to us live tonight on WWRB 3.185. We got some witnesses in here tonight with us that are going to give you a testimony and share some of their experiences in the great and the magnanimous and the magnificent name of Yahweh. Of course, this is part three of our continued service of the altar. Now, how to build an altar, and how to consecrate it, and how to stand upon it, and how to offer up acceptable sacrifices. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, what are you talking about, an altar? Every church has got an altar. Well, I have already discussed the circumstances of a platform altar. Now, you can pray to Yahweh anywhere you're at any time, and the Bible commands you to pray without ceasing. But worshiping Yahweh, you must have an altar to offer up acceptable sacrifices. And the Bible said to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, we know that the altar building customs is a thing of the past. We just go out, we find a group, a church group. They just find a spot of ground, and they build a building. They lay the foundation down, and then they erect the church, the temple. And in front of the temple, you've never seen an altar in the back of it. But ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the temples that was built in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, did you know that the altar was outside of the temple? Now, if you didn't know that, this was the altar that they used to worship and to praise and to magnify and to offer up their offerings unto Yahweh. It was outside the temple. And that tradition has been abandoned by the bell box worshipers. Now remember, in 1 Kings chapter 18, the Bible says that Elijah went up on the mountain, and the prophets of Baal were on a pulpit platform, and they were calling on Baal. Elijah, the first order of business that he did, he took 12 stones, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel, by the way, and he laid the stones in a circle. And the Bible says he dug a trench around the circle of stones. Now, if we go to the book of Joshua in the English, we go to the fifth chapter, again, of the book of Joshua. And there they were commanded to lift up out of the river of Jordan, the river rock stones. And they took 12 stones, and they laid them in a circle at Gilgal, which is the word, this reason they called it Gilgal, it was the place of the altar circle. And ladies and gentlemen, here in Murphy, North Carolina, high in the Smoky Mountains tonight, upon top of this mountain, where brother and sister live, and we have this altar built here in the wilderness of the Smoky Mountains. It has 12 stones upon it, and we meet and congregate, and we worship our Creator Savior, that's Yahweh, by the way, it is Yahweh, and we display the fundamental principles of the divine covenant being established in our heart by faith, through grace. And did you know that a lot of people say, well, that was under Moses. Well, what about Abraham? He built the same kind of altar. They don't say it's under Abraham. They always say it's under Moses. We don't do what Moses did. But in the 27th chapter of the book of Exodus, we find that Moses built an altar. Now, we also find that it was a blessing altar, and it was also a cursing altar. We done described that altar, and I'm sure that you have reviewed the scriptures that we've got. Now, we're going to let the brothers, that we have a few brothers in here tonight, in the assembly, that are going to leave their testimony on behalf. Now, this is not to glorify anybody, not to glorify Pastor Buddy, but to glorify our Creator. We are servants of Yahweh. We're dedicated and we're obligated to love Him and keep His commandments. We also love our brothers and we love our sisters. They're here tonight. We have people from Chicago. We have people in here from the great state of Illinois, represented here, several people from the great state of Illinois. And we have people here from the great state of Tennessee. And we have people here from the great state of Kentucky. We have people here from the great state of South Carolina. We have people here from the great state of Michigan. We have people here actually from many, many states that are represented here tonight with the Shepherd's Call Ministries and Pastor Buddy here upon this old-fashioned altar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce one of our brothers from the great state of Kansas, one of our young men, a disciple, a minister of Yahweh. He just returned from the great state of Wisconsin, where he administered baptism in the mighty name of Yahweh to a ancient brother and sister. These brothers and sisters were old age. They've been baptized in the title of Father and Son and Holy Ghost. Then they've been baptized in the title of Jesus. And lo and behold, this brother, here from the state of Kansas, drove over 1,000 miles one way just to administer baptism. And Brother Steve from the great state of Kansas, leave your testimony.
Thank you, Pastor Buddy. Friends, nobody, I suppose there's people who openly admit they're Satan worshipers, but I'm talking to the group who think they're doing right. Satan don't run around in a little red suit signing up people to worship him. He does it by deceit. He wins by default. And if you're believing in Jesus, you've done been suckered in. It's an ancient form. It's a modern form of Zeus worship. There will be no salvation in that name. There's only salvation in the name of Yahweh. So if you've been baptized in that name or believe in that name, and you really want the truth, you have to do a little more study and a little more prayer. Yahweh is the only name of the Creator. It's the only name where there is salvation. And you must have His name written in your forehead, and that's administered there with your thoughts. That's the mark that you need to have, and that happens upon your baptism by immersion as an adult in the name of the Father, and that name is Yahweh. Thank you for listening. Everybody out there needs to keep seeking and keep praying. Thank you, Pastor Buddy.
Praise Yahweh, Brother Steve. All right, our good brother sitting to my right here is from the great state of Illinois. Brother Pard, come on, give your testimony. Thanks, Pastor Buddy. I'm 68 years old. When I was 55, Yahweh exposed his name to me. 2 years ago, Pastor Buddy baptized me. When I was a little kid, I got sprinkled in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then about 8 years ago, I had a friend of mine who was a minister that baptized me in a friend of mine's swimming pool in the name of Jesus. And then Pastor Buddy baptized me 2 years ago in a beautiful stream in Murphy, North Carolina, in the name of Yahweh. And when he put me under the water, it was just a beautiful sight. And whenever he pulled me out of the water, the feeling I had was unbelievable. So it just proves the old saying that the third time was a charm. And if you don't get Yahweh's name, you're going to be a lost soul. And with what's coming in the next few years, 2012, you probably won't want to be around, but you might be if you have the name of Yahweh in your forehead. Thank you, Pastor Buddy.
All right, thank you, Brother Ford. I represent the great state of Michigan in here tonight, and we have several of those, and we have a lot of people from Michigan. Brother J.W., come over here and leave your testimony. Brother J.W. from Doran, Michigan.
Well, I just came in here to listen to Pastor. I wasn't expecting this. But I've got to tell you, folks, that I was studying a book that was given to me and different scriptures about the altar. I was raised Pentecostal Assembly of God all my life for 65 years. And I knew the name of Yahweh. I've got a wife that kind of fought all this until last year, and we were baptized in the name of Yahweh here in a river in Murphy, and we followed another couple down, and I brought back a new wife. I got a new person entirely, and she's been telling everybody about the name of Yahweh. I do want to mention when it's spoken of the name of Jesus, it's not with the, we don't believe in the deity. It's just that that name, if you check it out on a computer or anywhere else, you'll find that it doesn't exist 400 years ago. Can't be found anywhere in biblical days. He was never called Jesus, not known as Jesus. His name is Yahweh. If you pick up a 1611 King James Version Bible, you won't find it in there anywhere, but you will find the name Yahweh 6,823 times. This last week, we completed an altar at my little farm in Duran, Michigan, and even though I've only had it a few days, it's been a blessing. It's just a private place that we dedicated to him and prayed that he will accept it, find it acceptable. And it's a private place. You can go out and look at the stars and just commune with him. And we believe it's a real blessing. It's really hit home. And I tried playing devil's advocate. I thought this altar thing, this is a bunch of nonsense. But the more you read and the more you study, the more I discovered that I don't know. And so I've become a serious truth seeker, and I believe that Pastor Buddy is leading us in the right direction. Thank you for listening.
Here's Pastor Buddy. Thank you, Brother J.W. from Duran, Michigan. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot of people here from Michigan. Now, we got a brother here from California, just recently moved to the Southland. Brother Bob is been a faithful servant many years in this faith, and he's my right hand and most of the time my left hand. He does all of our editing. He posts all of our messages on our website. He
as did all of our CD messages and our DVD messages on, so he's a tremendous help and a brother that I'm very proud of. Brother Bob, leave your testimony from the great state of Arkansas.
Well, thank you, Pastor Buddy. It's always a time of reunion, a family reunion. You know, you come to expect your brothers to show up when you come to the festivals. You know, we're not volunteering to come. We're commanded to come to the festivals. Until you experience an altar, you can't even come close to grasping the significance of what the altar really means. Like all of the other brothers and sisters that I've gotten acquainted with since being involved, they were either Baptist or Pentecostal or other denominations, super people, salt of the earth kind of people. And, you know, most of us was one of those.
Yeah,
you could possibly be one of them as well.
Amen.
But if you're one of his sheep, he will call you. And when he calls you, you'll know. And once you stand on the altar, you'll also know.
Amen.
You can't go knock on doors and win souls, because he only was sent to the house of Israel.
Amen.
You know, we can go and knock on doors, we can go to other countries and recruit, but unless they are his children, you're wasting your time.
Amen.
And Satan has stolen it.
Amen.
You can look up these words in your Bible, in your concordance, such as Lord. Find out what Lord really means. It means Baal worshiper. And you say in your Sunday school lessons, oh Lord this, and oh Lord that, or oh Baal this, oh Baal that. And then you say, oh Jesus loves me. Slow down the words, and let's put it in another language so somewhat. Zeus. Hey Zeus. Hey Zeus. Have we been tricked again into a false name?
Amen.
Do we have Zeus worshipers out there? Have we been deceived? I was. You know, coming to the truth is sometimes a rude awakening. And maybe like me, you need to kind of search and find out what the truth really is. So we'll ask you always blessing upon these festivities. We ask his blessings on each and one of the brothers and the sisters that is represented here. And he has already started his blessings, and we'll just count the rest of them.
Amen.
Yahweh bless.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Now from the great state of South Carolina, one of my old brothers, goes back a long way with me. Brother Corey, leave your testimony, my friend.
I'm a worshiper of Yahweh.
Amen.
I love Yahweh. I do not belong to any denomination. I belong to Yahweh. He leads me each day. I talk with him each day, and he leads me, and he has taught me to be a seeker of truth and righteousness.
Amen.
And if you look at Revelations 22:4, you'll find it says that you will have his mark in his forehead. And if you have the wrong mark in your forehead, well, you have missed the mark. And I've learned a lot from Pastor Buddy. I love Yahweh, and I love Buddy. I love all of our brothers and sisters. And I'll pass this on back to Pastor Buddy.
Thank you, Brother Coy. Now from the great state of Illinois, up around Chicago, we got Brother John with us. And Brother John, leave your testimony, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Buddy. My whole life I was raised strict Lutheran. We believed in the Trinity. We were taught that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were taught that there were three different entities, but just one God. And so basically we were taught to divide our mind into three different parts. Then I started listening to Pastor Buddy, and I thank Yahweh for this. And through studying the scripture, as pointed out by Pastor Buddy, first of all, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, it says there, Yahweh, our mighty one, is one Yahweh.
Amen.
And thou shalt love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And then when Yahweh came in the flesh, when he was confronting the religious leaders of his day, face to face, Yahweh in the flesh, Jesus in the scripture, as you may know it, he said to the religious leaders in John 10 and 30, I and my Father are one, not three, not two, but one. The eternal spirit, Yahweh, actually indwelled in that body. He was standing right there in front of the religious leaders of that day, and they rejected him flat out. They wanted to kill him. They hated him. They hated Yahweh. So when I started studying this message and learning about it and thinking about it, and Yahweh leading me through the preaching of Pastor Johnson and Pastor Buddy and studying the scriptures, I came out of the Lutheran Church, and I turned my back on all that because I found out it was worthless.
Amen.
I got baptized in Yahweh's name.
Amen.
And it's been a journey and a growth ever since, and I'm still growing, still learning, and still trying to seek his faith and love him, Yahweh, with all my heart and all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. Help me, Yahweh, to love you, and whatever's in my heart, as your word promised, you will not put it out, you will not quench it, but you will have that faith grow. Thank you, Yahweh. Amen.
Amen. Praise Yahweh. Great message there, Brother John. All right, from the great state of Michigan, again, one of our brothers here, Brother James. Brother James, leave your testimony for Yahweh.
How's the world tonight? This is Jimmy D. from Michigan. Buddy talked on altars tonight, and I found them to be extremely important. If you've never stood on a real altar in a salt covenant people that we are, and never stood on a royal circle, because you're royal people, you don't know what you're missing. There's no such thing as a sacrifice. When the lamb is killed down here, we eat the lamb. It would be a sacrifice if you burnt the lamb. And that would be some sacrificial ritual. We don't believe in none of that. We do believe in the scriptures. Now, talking about the altars, I've had people tell me, well, years and years ago, they used to have the altars outside the churches.
Sure.
That's when the preachers were still teaching Yahweh.
Amen.
Because when you teach Yahweh and you find out that that's who was hung on the cross, and it's not the Son in a flesh body, but it's still the person. If you read in Matthew, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
And when you find out you've been worshiping a false God, folks, I'm sorry, but it says don't put no other gods before me. And that's the first thing you've done.
Amen.
The first thing these Baal preachers have done. I done a lecture, and I was very, very tough on these preachers because that's what's wrong with America. You know, you call me by my name and I'll heal your land.
Amen.
If enough people get on, call Yahweh by his name to heal this land, look what the problem is here. The two-party stronghold, the Congress, has absolutely devastated this country.
Amen.
Every preacher, every president that gets in, they never take no laws off that was done before. It's really part of the Communist Manifesto. I'm going to say it just like it is.
Amen.
And, You need to find out who Yahweh is. the Yahweh came in a flesh body to be with his people.
Amen.
And they killed him.
Amen.
Now the false preachers tell you that these people that killed him were God's chosen people. So you think that they would kill their father? See what I mean? Does that make sense to you? No. You got any questions about it? Yes. Well, find out who Yahweh is, and you'll see you've been lied to, folks. But this is very, very strong, and it's what's going to happen here pretty soon. This is the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get worse and worse and worse before it ever gets any better. But if you're baptized in the Father's name, Yahweh,
amen,
and you call upon his name, you'll see a difference. There'll be little things come to you that makes the picture perfect in your mind, and it circumferences your mind, and it does absolutely set you free. So that's a little testimony from me, but I'm real strong in Yahweh. I love Yahweh. I wish that had meant a long, long time ago. I looked and looked and looked because I was never satisfied, folks. That's what church jumpers are. You know why they're church jumpers? They can't find anything.
Amen.
You ask them what they learned when they out in the parking lot. Well, I don't know. And everybody can't wait for the church to be over. They're not learning nothing.
Amen.
So you actually, you leave the church dumber than what you came, but they got your money. Pay and pray.
Pay and pray.
Yep. And we're going to see if you can get in heaven. And then they tell you that everybody can be saved. Well, ask yourself, how about Satan's kids? Satan's kids can be, they can be saved, or don't you know that he has children on the face of this earth?
Amen.
So this is pretty strong stuff. You want to dig into it yourself, get the scriptures out, prove yourself worthy, and when you find out it's true, you're going to be sheepish instead of making us, fun of us killing a sheep. You're the one going to feel sheepish. But that's enough. I don't mean to be too tough on good quality, lovable people. But you've been lied to, folks. Find out for yourself. So I'll give you back to Pastor Buddy. Have a good day in Yahweh's name.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just having a wonderful time here fellowshipping. This is the 14th, the beginning of the 14th day, which started at the sundown. And, of course, we met as the sun went down on the 13th day, and we had an old-fashioned foot washing here, and all the brothers had their feet washed. We have taken communion. We have stood on the altar. We have opened the heavens. We have closed the heavens. We have ministered. We got a sister that drove all the way down from Ohio that wants to be baptized in the great and the magnanimous name of Yahweh. And if you would like to receive the salvation that is in this great name that all the brothers have testified to, then you make your way on down here to Murphy, North Carolina. We will be on Hiwassee Street beginning Sunday for daily worship services. Now, every night, we'll be here on the mountaintop worshiping on the altar. We offer up acceptable sacrifices to Yahweh. We teach during the day, and we come up here on the mountain where the altar is, and we gather on the altar, and we worship our Father. And the brethren have testified about the great name and many testimonies about how to get saved. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 39, it says, how or what must we do to be saved? And Peter said unto them, repent. Now, here's the Hebrew boy. He's not a Greek, and he's not an English or a Westerner. He is an Aramaic-speaking Hebrew. He was a Galilean, according to the Bible. He lived in northern Israel and was known as a Galilean. He spoke the Aramaic language. And when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter, who had never heard of Jesus now, because it's in the Greek version, they put Jesus in there, and that's an error. So when you figure out the great mystery, that Peter didn't say Jesus. He said Yahweh, the name that's got salvation. Now, let me show you something here. If Jesus' name has got salvation, then there's none in Yahweh's name. And if salvation is in Yahweh's name, then there's none in Jesus' name. So your mission, if you accept this challenge to save your soul, and the Bible said save yourself, you got something to do. Rise up and meet the challenge of the Word. Study to show yourself approved. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I'm going to get Brother Steve up here, and he wrote a song here, and I want him to sing it for you. I think it'd be very appropriate. It tells you the story about how to be saved and how to get that mark of that Coy mentioned here in 22 Revelations chapter 22, verse 4, that mark in the forehead.
Put his name in your forehead is what you need to do. Get on out to the river. Baptism is for you. Go on down in the water to make your kingdom claim. With his name in your forehead, you'll never be the same. Heaven is awaiting for the chosen race. Getting in the water gives his amazing grace. Yahweh is your Father. He wants you to see covenant and promise of life eternally. Now the name of the Father's what you need today. Belief in any other will surely lead astray. A tower strong is waiting for you to run into. Baptism in Yahweh is how you make it true.
Amen. Amen. Brother Steve just wrote that and sung it to the people that he baptized up in the great state of Wisconsin. We got anybody in Wisconsin listening tonight? You had a prophet in the land up there last week, and he administered baptism in the magnanimous, most magnificent name of Yahweh. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're still like it was in Jerusalem when the little Hebrew Galilean boys were out preaching the great name of Yahweh, because that was the name that was set at naught of the builders. The Greeks came in, and as the brothers have testified, they changed the name of Yahweh over to Iesus. Now, the spelling is strikingly similar, and I'll show you exactly. In the Hebrew, the name is Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. It's four letters. That's where we get the Greek word for tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton is in the Hebrew scriptures 6,823 times, where in the English Bible you will see the word L-O-R-D, which is a pagan symbol to represent your Creator. Now, to prove that, let's go over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Paul said, there's many lords. So when you glorify the Lord, which one? If you were in a courtroom and you were on the witness stand and you were being asked if there's many lords and you say you love the Lord, it would be fair for the attorney, the prosecuting attorney, to ask you which one. So then, if you're not worshiping the true Creator of heaven and earth, who only has one name. Now, let me show you how it's spelled in the Greek. It is spelled in transliteration, sound for sound. It is spelled I-E-U-E. You see how close they got Iesus? Constantine wanted Zeus to be God, the great God Zeus. He was a Roman, and he was a Greek, and Romans and Greeks worshiped Zeus. They didn't worship Yahweh. Only the Hebrew children worshiped Yahweh, but most of them had gone over to lords and gods and Baals and Zeus. As it is today, Yahweh has commanded you in the book of Revelation to come out of her, my people. So then we're giving you the Carleton call to come out through many testimonies here tonight to tell you that the name of Yahweh, like Steve wrote in his message, is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved. I'm so glad that when I heard the name of Yahweh preached to me, I've been a minister for 30 years in the name of E.A. Zeus. And I gladly laid down my tradition. I searched the scriptures to see whether this was true. It's frightening. It disappointed me to know that I had been misled as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ when I found out that the name Jesus was not even before or at the most 500 years old. So I repented of my sins, and I was baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin, and oh, what joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm so glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of Yahweh. And I left the house of the Lord and moved into the house of Yahweh, which is the only name under heaven given among men whereby that we can be saved. Now, we love you. These brothers that have witnessed to you, and we got many more that could, but we'll be back Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 8 Central. We'll be back with the message for the hour, and we'll still be in Passover. So we're celebrating Passover, and we celebrate the second Passover. We don't celebrate the first Passover. You know why? Because he wasn't killed in the first Passover. We celebrate the one he died in. And he had to die in the second Passover because the Jews, according to Matthew 26, 1 through 5, and according to Mark chapter 14, 1 through 5, they refused to kill him in their Passover. At least it would cause an uproar. So they branded him unclean, essentially because he had ate dinner with the leper before Passover, which was a no-no, according to them. And he'd also touched a dead body. And so that bound, they gave them the right to bind him over, to bring him back to Jerusalem 30 days later to the day. And they killed him in the second Passover, the one we're celebrating here tonight. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, he said, see, do it according to the pattern of the word. If they speak not, now talking about the preachers, if they speak not, and we got a $10,000 reward for anybody can show us in the Bible where the Messiah, Yahweh, in a flesh body, died in the first Passover. Now, that's a lot of money for you to get if you want to search the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll read the 17th verse of Matthew chapter 26, you'll find that on the first day of unleavened bread, which would have been on the 15th day, you see the Messiah died on the 14th. But he was talking on the 15th day there in the book of Matthew chapter 26 verse 17. Now, you can't talk and be dead. He should have been dead. If they had killed him on the first Passover, he would have been dead. But they didn't kill him. They bound him over and ordered him to come back 30 days later where the crowd had dispersed. Many of those that kept the first Passover had gone home, and only the unclean had come back. So he was numbered with the transgressors and the unclean. They killed him on the second Passover. And the law of the second Passover is found in Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, for your information. And, of course, the Pharisees and the scribes knew the scriptures well. And they knew that they could bind him over on a technicality and have him to come back when the crowd had dispersed and they could kill him without causing an uproar. And that's exactly what they done. So here we are after 2,000 years celebrating the one he really died in and proving it by the scriptures. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many minutes we got here. Brother Bob is manning the clock over there. It's 21 after Brother Wally said. So we've got a few minutes to remind you of the Salt Covenant. Now, that's what we have had a message on. But before I get to the Salt Covenant, I'd like to say a word about the Sabbath. Did you know that right now, in this day and time, people don't know when the Sabbath comes, Brother Steve? And you know why? Because they've been led astray. They've been taught, Brother Coy, by the Gregorian calendar that Saturday is the Sabbath, or Sunday is the Sabbath. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got news for you. By the Gregorian calendar, which is false, the Bible goes by the lunar. Now, we're going to give you another offer. Here it is. Take this challenge. And this, we send this expressively out to you preachers. We're not trying to jump on those who have been deceived by them. We're going to go to the head of the snake. You know the quickest way to kill a snake? Go to his head. And by going to his head, you cut off the function of the snake, but he can still wiggle after you kill him. Well, these snakes are full, the pulpits are full of snakes, two-legged. And they're lying to the people, saying that Saturday is the Sabbath, or Sunday is the Sabbath. Both of those are erroneous and false and serpentine misleading. And we offer $10,000. Get this now, you false preachers. Take Pastor Buddy up on this. If you think that we're just playing with it, you'll find out that you're playing with fire when you want to deal with the question. Well, for anybody, $10,000, and this is put up by my good friend down in Georgia, Brother Arnold, one of my fellow Sabbatarians of the Lunar. Any man that can prove in the Bible that any Sabbath was observed other than 8, you say, well, the Sabbath on the Sabbath. Well, they observed the 8th day as the Sabbath. Any man that can prove any other Sabbath other than the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, or the 29th day, you got $10,000 if you can read it. Book, verse, and chapter. So we're waiting on all these false prophets that someday they're going to preach against the Sabbath, the lunar Sabbath. And they're going to prove that Saturday is the Sabbath or the Sunday is the Sabbath, be it who is. You've got a challenge out there for you. And all you got to do is call this number tonight. Now, of course, since I'm on the road, I'd have to give you my cell phone number. But we'd be glad to give it to you. It's posted on my website. And all you got to do to go get it is go up to oneyahweh.com. www.oneyahweh.com. You'll see my cell phone number there, and you can reach me right now. Within 5 minutes after the program ends, you could call me and you can give me book, verse, and chapter where they kept one Saturday on the Gregorian calendar as a Sabbath, or one Sunday. Now, we know that the Roman Catholic Church come in and changed, according to the Sabbatarians of the seventh day, that they changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. But ladies and gentlemen, two wrongs never make the right. It never was on Saturday, except that the days fall on the lunar, because if you go to the scriptures, it was the new moon that started the month. And we have an 8th day Sabbath in the Bible, and I've preached on the 8th day before, but see, 7th day people can't preach the 8th day Sabbath, because they ain't got a calendar for it. Well, they're hunting a lunar calendar that they can prove wrong. Well, I've got one that I devised, and we got it here, and we got it with us. And we know what day that the first day of the month begins. It's on a new moon. And we also know when that you keep Passover. That's on a full moon. The first day of unleavened bread will be Friday night or Saturday night. and they begin the first day of Lent, which is the 15th, which is a full moon. That's 1, 8, 15, 22, or 29. Now, that's the message of the Sabbath. And we're going to deal with the Sabbath in the upcoming services to prove to you in the mouth of what? Two or what? Three witnesses, let what? Every word be established. Now, we're not out to deceive you. We're not out to amuse you. We're not out to cross anybody. We're just out to get the truth. Now, what's the Bible say? You shall know what? You shall know the truth, and what? The truth will make you free. How many minutes? 26 after. We got 4 minutes to give you our address. We're here in Murphy, North Carolina. If you'd like to come on and join us this coming week, we'll be here in service every day at the Depot. This is the Murphy Community Center here called the Depot. It's on Hawassi Street, downtown Murphy, North Carolina. We'll be here next week, and we'll be in service those days. Bible study. We'll get into Bible study. We'll get the scriptures. How many love the scriptures? Did you know the Bible said the Bereans search the scriptures daily? And they never search one New Testament scripture? They search the scriptures daily because there wasn't no New Testament wrote in Acts 17. It hadn't been posted yet. But you see, a crafty bunch of people have come into the New Testament, and they have posted what they want, and they use the name that they use, which is the name of Jesus. It never was Jesus. Even in 1611, when they penned the 1611 original King James Bible, Brother Coy mentioned it, there was not even a J in print in 1611. Is that right, folks? Can I read the name of Jesus in the 16 original Bible? Is it in there? It's not in there. And you know why? Simply because there was no J's in 1611. So it couldn't have been Jesus, folks. We're not trying to make you mad. As Brother Steve said, we just want the name of Yahweh in your forehead. Now, by saying that, we're going to say this. You can write me tonight. This is Pastor Buddy in fellowship here in Murphy, North Carolina. You can write me at Post Office Box 2284. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's zip 37824. You can call me, area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to call my cell phone, that is 423-259-0606. Give us a call immediately after the service here, and if you'd like to witness and come on down, just call me here, area code 423. That will be 259-0606. We'll see you Monday night on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, the transmitting Jewel of the South, live right here with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy and all of our witnesses tonight in fellowship here in Murphy, North Carolina. May Yahweh take a liking to you. And once you try, we know you'll like Him. Everybody in here is witness about how they love Yahweh and how they witnessed for Him and what they had done when they found out about His name. They ran into it, and they found rest for their soul. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not only willing to suffer for the name of Yahweh, we're ready to die for it. To die is gain, but to live is the Messiah. So we love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. According to Mark 12:29, we love Him just like Mark said. We love Him with all our heart, all our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. We'll see you come Monday night here at 9 o'clock, live, Eastern Standard Time, WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel, on the transmitting Jewel of South. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.